Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we come to Luke's account of the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, and we see how it is that we are to respond to the announcements of God in regard to his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In fact, both ladies speak under the inspiration of God, as is evident by the fact their words are recorded by the Bible, and that we are told that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We can read of their reactions, and let us guide us, especially us that have the whole picture, of course, whereas the women only saw the various stages. And we're to see how we're to respond, how we're to react to what God has accomplished. Not simply react to mere objective facts, but rather truths that affect our eternal well-being. And not just ours, but for generations past and generations to come. These are tremendous events, and they cannot be simply looked at in brief and without our emotions being aroused. These women show how they are full of joy over what God revealed. And we want each and every one of us to rejoice in the same way, that the world would take note of how glorious these truths are to us. First of all, then, we see Elizabeth's reaction, her joy over the fact that Mary had been brought by God's providence to her. Here we have a meeting of the generations. Elizabeth is much older than Mary, and of course is also the wife of the priest. You might think that there would be some resentment that God would choose Mary for this role. But there is no resentment. There is no grumbling. why Elizabeth? I mean, after all, she was going to give birth too. She was already expecting. People might think, why not give that responsibility to Elizabeth to bring forth the Savior of the world? But no, there is no jealousy on their part. It is the plan of God that is front and center. It's that which thrills the heart. There's not personal ambitions, personal glory that we look to. And so here is Elizabeth, as I said, much older. And it says, being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, she begins by saying, blessed are you among women. Mary wasn't that old. Here's a senior, we might say. And here's a young woman. And she is not disturbed. She's not concerned about calling her blessed. And she does it with all of her heart. This was, in fact, true, for Gabriel had said this very same thing in verse 28. Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. That's what the angel had said. And so the same words are brought by Elizabeth toward Mary. Now, in the church of God, there should not be this aspiring to make a name for oneself, but rather there should be a willingness to do whatever we can for the Lord and his wonderful plan of redemption. We don't put ourselves forward. We don't envy certain positions or roles. We're simply delighted to see the unfolding of God's purposes. Just like the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd rather see God and the things that he's accomplishing. That in and of itself is glorious and satisfying. I'm not looking for positions. I'd rather be a doorkeeper and watch these things at close range than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The disciples once told the Lord Jesus that someone was casting out demons in his name. But since he was not one of them, they wanted the Lord to forbid him. And Jesus corrects their response by saying, do not forbid one who works a miracle in my name. Don't be so partisan. And of course, that can happen in our own midst. We can be jealous of others and think that God should be using us rather than other people. Let us learn from Elizabeth, this old saint, who is more taken with a plan of redemption and allowed it to thrill her heart. And whoever God is using, she was glad to see and encourage. Having said that, we should not be concerned about image does not mean that we do not encourage those that God is using. So we say, well, God doesn't want people to get, puffed up, so we're not going to encourage people in case they get a big head. But no, we shouldn't. Elizabeth openly rejoices in and acknowledges that Mary is indeed blessed among women by the fact that the Lord is using her in this role. What an encouragement for Mary, who, as we know, faced many challenges and fears, struggles. It is right and proper that she should be encouraged by being reminded that she is being used of God, blessed by God. And therefore, she needs to take courage from that. She needs to be strengthened by that so that she can stand against the struggles that the devil brings to make our work for him a lot harder. No, we need to focus on the work that God is doing. And whoever he uses, we need to encourage. We ought not to resent the fact that, oh, I wanted that role. No, we need to encourage them to do it, to persevere, to take it as an honor to serve the Lord, even as we serve in the capacity that God gives to us. But also she rejoices in Mary's son. Although Mary is blessed in being chosen to be the mother of Jesus, yet the far greater reason for the joy is the fruit of her womb, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the news that Elizabeth is over the moon about. This is what the Holy Spirit leads her to note and to celebrate. Mary had told her all this when she came, and this is what Elizabeth is reacting to. This is what Elizabeth desired as one who was looking for the promise of God down the centuries, and now it was here. This is what caused her and the baby, John the Baptist, to leap for joy, even though the baby was only 6 months in the womb, that is. It leapt for joy. And it wasn't some haphazard motion that babies are wont to do as they are in their mother's womb. No, it was because of the proximity of the Lord Jesus Christ to John the Baptist, even though both were in the womb. And it's not a conjecture on our part, because Elizabeth, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, explains that that's exactly what it is. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. This is how natural it is for us to rejoice in all that God accomplishes. Even the infant in the womb knows enough to rejoice, to celebrate. The one that would grow up to say, I must decrease, he must increase. The babe of Mary was the hope of all God's people. Down the centuries, from Adam and Eve on. And salvation now was a tangible reality, because it moved from promise to fulfillment. This is what should excite us about the news of the birth of Christ. Here is real life record that God did fulfill his promise to save us from our sins by sending his son to save us. Our hope is not set on a theory, but on historical facts, as we will see on Friday. For God did send his son, and the whole world, though not believing in him, yet they have to conceive that Mary gave birth to a son. And so we take that and we rejoice in that. We communicate that to the world around us. But Elizabeth is also humble. Shows her humility before God. Because of what is her response to all of this when Mary goes to her? Her response is, why should I receive this wonderful blessing to have Mary come to her? To see these wonderful redemptive acts come to fruition. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What a wonderful blessing for us to have, as it were, for Elizabeth to have, as it were, a front row seat. Now she is indeed blessed. And we are indeed blessed. The fact that God has opened our eyes, the fact that we can see the significance of these events, and we can see the love of God that is poured out of his heart towards us. Is this not a characteristic of all God's children? namely meek. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Such people know their hearts. They know their sin. And so they know they deserve nothing from God. And so when they receive certain blessings, they are full of humility and gratitude. We should be the last people to boast over others. Since, like the Apostle Paul, we've been brought to see our sin. We've been brought to the point of saying, nothing good lies in us. There's nothing worthy in us. And yet God has blessed us so wonderfully. And that can apply to all kinds of things in our Christian environment. The way that God says that others hear the gospel here and there, but to you I've held out my hands all day long. How blessed we are to have such attention brought to us. And as Paul says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the news of salvation. How blessed we are that God so ordained it that we would hear the gospel, that he granted us faith to believe in him, that he opened our eyes so that we could taste the wonderful blessings of salvation. And this joy is expressed in words and emotions. In speaking all this of all this joy, Elizabeth, let us not forget to note that she expressed it in words and emotions. There are some who have the idea that to be happy and joyful is dangerous for Christians and hence to be avoided. And yet we have this old woman who is filled with the Holy Spirit and she is bursting out with joy. Notice it's not some superficial rejoicing, but based firmly on the revelation of God and his acts. She spoke, we are told, with a loud voice, not with a soft one, with a loud voice, not with reservation, but without reservation. Those that are so ecstatic. We look at children sometimes, don't we? We think, oh, we used to, but we're so more reserved now when we're older. But children are not. They just let it all go. You know, David was like that. Not when he was young. When he was older. When the ark was recovered. And it was being brought. You remember, he dressed down and he was dancing for joy. And his wife was so embarrassed. But he shouldn't do that as a king. But he as a king, with all that he had, is reduced to a little child that is thrilled out of his mind. And what is it about? The fact that the ark had been recovered. And it was being brought back to him. All the palaces and the things that he had, this was the greatest thing in the world to him. And he showed it. And so as believers, we need to have that. We need to show that. I'm not talking about the emotions that we see so often in various churches. I'm talking about emotions that are aroused by the truth itself, right? By the acts of God himself. If the angels rejoiced and sang his praises, then how much we, for whom he came, and for whom he gave his life a ransom for many. No, our rejoicing should be from the heart. It should be genuine, not put on, but that which satisfies us. But in the second place, there's Mary's joy over God's gracious choice. Mary indeed was most blessed as God used her in his plan, and rightly she is called blessed. But notice that she does not become proud over it. No one should become proud over God using us in certain capacities. She responds like all God's servants by highlighting that she is of lowly state and merely a servant. She didn't deserve that. She hasn't earned this. And how grateful she is that God would use her simple, humble maidservant. As Jesus said to his disciples, when you've done all that is required of you, then we ought to say, we are worthless servants, for we have done only that which was our duty. Moses was greatly used of God, but yet it says he was the meekest man on earth. The Apostle Paul was mightily used by God, but he openly confesses that he is the chief of sinners, that he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve to be the apostle. In fact, he was one that was born out of the regular time. He wasn't with the other 12 apostles when Jesus called them. And yet God called him. And though you worked hard, he ascribes it all to God's grace, working in him. We too, as those chosen by God, should always guard our view of ourselves such that we, like Mary, always give God the glory. It's not because we were wiser than others. It's not because we were better in some capacity than others. That's why God chose us. No, God didn't choose you because there was something worthy in you. No. He chose us because he chose to set his love on ungodly people as we are. And therefore, we're to give him praise. We ought to give him honor. And also, as leaders, it is all too easy to use a position as a source of pride. But we're to be humble servants, rejoicing that God would be pleased to use us. It is not easy to do. But as we live by the Spirit, he will teach us by the Word so that we live in a way that will give all the glory to God. Let us then rejoice that we are chosen by God as his covenant people, but not become proud, knowing that God can raise such children easily, even from stones. But rather, let us rejoice in our relationship to him. But also she rejoices over God's merciful acts. The other reason that Mary is full of joy is because of what God has done. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Now, what are these great things? Well, if we look in the Psalms, we see that the great things are tied to God's acts of deliverance. In Psalm 71 and Psalm 126, Mary is mindful of what God has done, that has given her to be the with child who is the Savior promised from so long ago. Throughout the Old Testament, even though we are lowly and undeserving, yet God has done these things, great things, for us. What is it about us that would justify God sending his son? There is absolutely nothing. In fact, everything points to the fact that God should not have done these things for us. Instead, he should have condemned us. This is what further astounds Mary, that God would do these things for us. We read all that God did in sending his son, and we should be thankful. Our hearts should be joyful, and our heads ought to be shaking in disbelief. No eye has seen, no ears heard, never entered into the mind of man that God would do such things for us. But his mercy is not just on Mary, but on you too. For she says that his mercy is on all those who fear him from generation to generation. These mighty acts are for us as well as those in the past. And so Mary sees the things that are happening beyond her personal reflections. She knows that this is a grand plan of God. It incorporates generations in the past and generations to come. She rejoices over God's covenantal faithfulness. As Jews like Mary trusted in God There were others who ridiculed that hope. They, after all, were strong and in power, such as the Romans. They didn't care about those things. They were wise as the Greeks. They were rich. They lived in such a manner that they had no cares. They were in authority and occupied thrones. Yet God's people, though seemingly powerless, looked to God for their strength. God had promised salvation. And now it comes in such a way that those who were considered lowly by the world are exalted. And those who were considered hungry are satisfied. Whereas in contrast, those that boasted in their own strength have been rejected and left empty. As we live our life, there is always a temptation of the world that we are missing out. And they display all their seeming power and wisdom and riches in an attempt to humiliate us so that we would join them. We are called to remember what Mary reveals, namely, that it is only those who look to God and His mercy who will receive God's richest blessings. God has never deserted His people Israel. And after so many years, God was faithful to the promises He made to Abraham and to his seed forever. All then, who like Abraham look to God and wait for Him, will not be disappointed, no matter how the world boasts, but will be blessed by God with His salvation. And so Mary rejoices over these things as she praises God. All those who believe in God must like her, even more so, as I say, even though she saw all of those things as well. But all of these things are written down for us, recorded for us. And so we need to boast in those and thank God for them. These are not complicated things. And how easy it is to take them for granted. Let us see these events in their context. That is, in terms of our salvation. Then they are a lot more personal and meaningful. And it's expressed, as I said, in the spirit and in the soul. In verses 46 and 47. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. All that Mary said, that her soul magnifies the Lord, and her spirit, every fiber of her being is involved. It doesn't take certain kinds of music. It doesn't take certain kinds of rhythms to get us excited. It's the truths. Reformed people are usually spoken as the frozen chosen. But they are holy emotions that arise in our hearts when we contemplate all that God has done for us. And they are far more lasting than the fleeting moments that we get all pumped up and excited. And then we go back to our regular life and everything seems boring. So when you learn to rejoice in what God has done for you, then every day of your life, you will have that joy. She expresses herself in this inspired song called the Magnificat. And that in front of her relative Elizabeth. There is no embarrassment, for she is overjoyed for that, just like David, as I mentioned. As we know, the simple truths of the gospel, these should fill us with joy. The gospel should never get old. Us, because then we've lost sight about what it is. Why is it that there's rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repents? It's not so much the sinner that repents that we're rejoicing over and saying, oh good, they chose that one and we really like that guy or like that. It's not that. It's the application of the gospel. It's another trophy for the gospel that we're rejoicing. That God's glorious redemption has brought about another sinner that has been saved from eternal death and brought into eternal life in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so finally we return to ourselves, to our joy as believers. We can be tempted to think that Mary and Elizabeth had it easy in terms of rejoicing, for they were involved. that we're so far removed, so many thousand years from these events. But they are applicable to us just the same. Blessed is the womb that bore you, says people to Mary. And blessed are the breasts that nursed you. But the Lord Jesus Christ responded to those kinds of statements by saying, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. We might think, oh, if we were involved in those times, if we lived in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we participated in those things, if we had a part to play, the Lord Jesus Christ corrects our error. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes that apply to each and every one of us. Yes, we are blessed. We are blessed. Again, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, Thomas responds with such devotion. Jesus says, Thomas, because you have seen me. I mean, how many Christians would not just dream of being alive and seeing and experiencing what his disciples experienced, seeing with their own eyes the resurrected Jesus Christ. But this is what Jesus said to him. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The point then is, we must be careful of not thinking that since I'm so far removed, it is understandable for us not to be excited. For us to think about the glorious truths of the gospel and the fact that they have taken root in our hearts through the working of God's Holy Spirit should give us ample reason to rejoice and thank God. Out of all the billions of people on this earth at this present moment, God has chosen you. Nothing in you that stands out relative to everyone else. But God chose you. Hey, what a wonderful blessing that is. People win the lottery and they go potty. And there's all these people that went in the lottery and they won. And they're so over the moon. Out of all of humanity, God chose you. If that's not a reason to rejoice with all of our heart, then there is no reason. And this is a season in which we think about these things, and I trust that they will remain in us not just for this season but for throughout the year, to always be reminded that God has chosen me to be his child and I have an eternity waiting for me in fellowship with him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed humble by the fact that you did so much for us, that it was for me that he came. It was for me that he lived. It was for me that he died and rose again. Now, Father in heaven, we pray that we might cherish that wonderful right that you have given us to be called the children of God. And our Father, when we read of all the things that have been done for us in terms of God, your redemptive plan, then we are eager to see what will transpire when all of those things come in their fullness. Now we're the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We know when we see him, we will be like him. And so, our Father, we pray that these truths may spur us on to serving you with all of our strength and all of our heart and with all of our mind. I Father, hear our prayers, receive our thanks, for we bring them because of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing Red Hymnal number 217. And this time we will take note that we'll sing the first two verses and then 4 and 7. First two and then 4 and 7.